Masechet Ta'anit Daf Dalid. We start off today with a couple of sections of Agadah, one about the passion or anger of Talmidei Chachamim. It'll be very interesting. And then Agadot about various improper requests that were made by different characters in Tanakh. After that, continuing on the theme of requests and getting back to our Mishnah, we're going to clarify that requesting and mentioning rain, in other words, Barech Aleinu and Mashiv HaRuach are two different things. And then we're going to discuss in detail, when do we end the request for Mashiv HaRuach Meridei Geshem? We're going to see these two opinions. One is Musaf of the first day of Pesach, which is what we do. We're going to see another Braita that says at the end of Pesach, and we'll see four ways of resolving that contradiction. And then we'll try to figure out what is the actual halakha regarding starting off Barech Aleinu. We're going to see that there are also multiple opinions here, or starting off mentioning the rain. We're going to have two opinions and also four ways of resolving that contradiction. So a lot to do. So we begin. We were talking about the benefits of different kinds of rain, strong rain and snow. And so we mentioned that dew is especially good, or light drizzle is especially good for seeds. And then we compared rabbis to seeds. A young rabbi who was like a seed that needs time, but once it sprouts, then it continues to sprout and increase. So sometimes you just have to put that initial effort in, and then you can see success afterwards. Since we're talking about that and the statement of Rava, we continue with yet another one about sages. Amar Rava, Hay Surva Rabbanan Deratach. If you see a young sage who is angry, little mean boiling hot, then you should know that it's the Torah that's making him angry or passionate. Pasuk in Yirmiyah says, my words are like fire. So like fire makes things hot, very powerful. So too, one who studies Torah can make the person even angry. Now, this is surprising because usually we say anger is a terrible trait. We try to stay away from it totally. And Rambam says you should be in the middle path for all traits except anger. Never get angry. So what does it mean here? Well, maybe it means that he's angry. He sees Torah being disrespected or something. So he's angry for the Torah, not for himself. And so maybe that's the Torah that's making him passionate about what he's learning. So v'amar Rav Ashe, kol tamid chacham sheno kashek kabarzel, eno tamid chacham shemaruch fatish, yofo se sala. The rest of the pasuk is that Torah is like a hammer that shatters a rock. Famous pasuk that also we learn from here, that nevuah, the prophecy on Har Sinai, was had multiple 49 different ways of interpreting it, because it's so powerful. It's like a hammer that shatters a rock on an anvil and it splits into many sparks and so on. Okay, but from here we learn that a sage who is not as hard as iron is not really a sage. In other words, a person should be, I guess you could say, stubborn in their beliefs, fixed in what they know is true, and not bend the rules and be a pushover when it comes to something as important as the teaching of Torah and following of the right law and the right thing to do. So sometimes a teacher, a leader, a sage needs to be stubborn. Amar le Rabbi Abba Rav Ashe, atun mehatam matnitula, anan mehacha matninan la. Rabbi Abba says, you learned it from a pasuk over there in Yirmiyah. I learned the same thing, but from a different pasuk in Devarim, Dichtiv. Eres asher avaneha barzel. Devarim, Sefer Devarim describes the land of Israel as a land whose stones are made out of iron. And the Peshat maybe is talking about fine metals that are found there in Israel, you can mine metals out of the rock. Or maybe it's talking about, you know, good building material like Jerusalem stone. So its stones are good for building. But we make a derasha, al tikra abaneha ela boneha. Don't say it's stones, but rather it's builders, meaning It's the builders are the sages, the people that are building the land spiritually, and they also need to be like a barzel. Sometimes you have to be tough in order to get things done. Amar Ravina afilu hachimi ba'ale li'inish le'melaf nafshe b'nichuta ha'ashenemad v'aser kas minibecha. And here's the flip side. Ravina says, nevertheless, even if the sage has good reason to be passionate and angry and tough like steel, nevertheless, a person should always act in a gentle manner. Because the pasuk in Kohelet says, remove anger from your heart. And this is, in fact, what Rambam says about anger, that even though one should never get angry, nevertheless, it is appropriate for a parent or a teacher to show anger, make believe one is angry, so that the students or the children will go on the right path. And so therefore, you shouldn't, you know, the opposite. Sometimes if someone is like never angry, never passionate, it's like he doesn't really care about it. So you have to care enough that you would be very, very stubborn and even to the point of anger. But nevertheless, don't be angry. Don't feel anger, but show it when appropriate. Okay, so very interesting agada. And now we continue. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, Shelosha Sha'aluk Shelo Kehogen. So now the next section of the agada is people that asked for something in an improper way. There are three of them in Tanakh. Lishnayim Heshivu Kehogen, Lechad Heshivu Shelo Kehogen. Two of them, Hashem responded positively anyway, even though the way they requested was not very nice. Nevertheless, they got a positive response. Sometimes, you know, a little kid comes and says, give me bread. You know, doesn't know how to ask nicely. Okay, so you try to teach them to ask nicely, but if they're really little, so then you just give them it anyway. Other times, right, someone asks improperly, then you don't want to give it to them. So let's see what the three cases are. Elohen, Eliezer, Ebed Abraham, Beshol Ben Kish, Yiftach Hagil Adi. Let's see each three in turn. Eliezer, Ebed Abraham. Of course, the Torah never mentions his name. He's only called Ebed Abraham. But there is only one other person who's called Ebed Abraham, which is Eliezer. So Midrash connects the two, which makes perfect sense. Maybe it doesn't call him Eliezer because he was such a faithful servant. He had no ego, no personality of his own. He did everything as if he was just the extension of Abraham. You know, if he was his own person, maybe he would be like, you know, while I'm at it, maybe I'll find a wife for myself. Okay, anyway, he's a good servant. So his challenge, his test was that the first maiden to come along and offers water for me and my camels, she is the one. So it could have been anybody, like, you know, just because they have that trait, how do you know that they're appropriate in every other way? The following line is not so sensitive to people with disabilities, but it says, what if she was lame? What if she was blind? Then would Yitzchak still want to marry her? I mean, we know today there are plenty of people who are can't walk and blind, and they lead perfectly. They marry and lead perfectly full lives. But maybe in those days it was harder. They didn't have all the technology and help that we have today. Okay. In any case, the point is that you can't just make this one test. Even though Ebed Abraham asked an improper way, nevertheless Hashem sent him a good person, perfect person, and that was Rivka. Okay, so this is a good story. Elsewhere in the Talmud, it says that Ebed Abraham, he practiced nichush. This is like sorcery. Like, who does that? You're not allowed to say, if the wind comes from this way, then I'll do this. If the boat comes in the next 5 minutes, then I'll make the deal. Otherwise, you can't do things that are looking for signs, and because that's like idolatry, sorcery. And Talmud and then Rambam says that Ebed Abraham practiced nichush, practiced sorcery, and that's also a negative. Ravad attacks Rambam for that and says, how could you say Ebed Abraham did something wrong? He's looking for midot. Okay, well, he's looking for midot, but still, you don't have to do it in such a technical way, like, you know, the first person, and look at the whole picture. All right, anyways, we have to add that to the list of questions regarding Ebed Abraham, but that was a good ending. Second one is also a good ending. Shaul ben Kish, tichtiv haya isha asher yakennu ya'ashirenu hamelech osher gadol ve'et bito yiten lo. When Goliath the giant came and he was threatening Israel. Shaul made a challenge and he says, anyone who kills this Goliath, I will make him rich and I will give him my daughter. Okay, well, but then it could be anyone. Yachol afilu ebed, afilu mamzer, heshibo kahogen, vizdamen lo David. It could have been someone who's not the proper lineage. It could have been a slave or a mamzer who cannot marry into the dynasty. But luckily, he was answered correctly, even though he really didn't think through his decision. Okay, what you notice is these two that end well, both have in common that they end in marriage. So, you know, you could say for, you know, in love, all is fair in love and ends well. The next one, however, does not end well. Yiftach hagil adi, dichtiv haya hayoseh asher yaseh midalteh beti, and so on. Yiftach, who is getting ready for battle, he's leaving, and he says to Hashem, if I am successful in this battle, then when I come home, whatever comes first out the door, I will offer to you as a sacrifice. He didn't really think through, because he assumed that it would be a sheep or a cow. Yachol afilu davar tameh heshivo kelo kehogen hizdamna lo bito. It could be that maybe a non-kosher animal came out. Maybe a horse would come out first. And then would he be stuck? What would he do? The Rishonim actually discussed this. What would you do if you promised to give a non-kosher animal? The answer, you wouldn't give it. Obviously, you wouldn't give it. It's null and void. And so he asked an improper. He didn't think through what this deal and in the end he was answered in a negative way. And his daughter came out, and you know the rest of that story. There's a machloket how to interpret what happened. It doesn't say explicitly. So she goes and cries for 2 months that she'll never be married. The majority opinion is that in fact he did kill her. He practiced human sacrifice because he thought that's if you promise something, then you have to do it. And he thought that God likes human sacrifice. A minority, Radak and some others say, no, he didn't actually go ahead and kill her. The Pasuk doesn't say so. Maybe she just remained single her whole life. In other words, she had a procreative death, not a physical death. Okay, anyway, it's a negative ending for her. V'hainu dekama lehu navi l'Israel hasuri en begilad im rofe en sham uchtiv. Regarding Yiftach, Yirmiyah says, is there no physician? Is there no balm? Is there no medicine in Gilad? Yiftach is from Gilad, a Giladi. Is there no doctor there? Meaning, just like a doctor heals a wound, so too, if one makes a vow, and it's an improper vow, then he can go to a judge and do hatarat nedarim. So Yiftach should have thought of that, and he should have gone and done that. So but he didn't. The Midrash expands on reasons. It was because of his pride that he didn't want to go to the judge. Let the judge come to me. And furthermore, it says this is something. As the context is offering one son to Baal, burning a child for Baal. Hashem says, I did not, Yirmiyah, I did not command this. I never said this. I never even thought of it. And yet the people, B'nai Israel, are passing their children through fire for Baal. So what does it mean? How come it repeats it? Asher lo siviti, and lo dibati, and lo alta libi. So amazing, Midrash, asher lo siviti, ze b'no shel mesha'. Melech Moav, when the Bnei Israel were fighting with Moav, they were winning. And then the king of Moav does something extraordinary. The king of Moav on top of the wall takes his own firstborn son who would be king after him. And the king of Moav sacrifices his son. Bnei Israel see that and they get scared. In other words, Bnei Israel assume that, oh, that's going to work. That's going to appease whatever divine beings are up there, and Bnei Israel retreat. But that's something that God never wanted. V'lo dibarati zeh Yiftach, and I never said to do this. That's referring to Yiftach. He made up his own thing. It was improper. V'lo al tali bize Yitzchak ben Avraham. Something I never even thought of is referring to Akedat Yitzchak. And this is a very significant midrash. It means that Hashem was only testing Avraham. And he never even, it's not like he said, yeah, kill your son. Okay, fine, I forget it. I'll change my mind. I feel bad for you. No, lo al talibi. It was never my intention in the first place. I only commanded it to you as a test and to show you that Hashem does not want child sacrifice. So there you go. Three different cases. You know, there's some discussion. You could add other cases like Yaakov Avinu before he leaves to Haran. He says, Hashem, if you bring me back here safely, then everything you give, then you will be my God, and everything you give me, I said, and ulach, I'll give you a tenth. It also looks like he's making a deal. So you know, is that the appropriate type of prayer to make a deal? So you know, one has to be careful in the types of prayers one says, and make sure that they are proper prayers. And that's why we're lucky to have a sidur. The rabbis thought through it; they gave us beautiful tefillah to say, and that way that is a guide to what we should be thinking, what we should ask for, and how we should ask for it. And if you look at the tefillah, really so beautiful. You don't have any of this this kind of magic or deal making throughout a tefillah. Okay, question?
Don't we have the same thing with Chana, right, when she prayed? Mm.
Yes, but very good. Yeah, Chana and Yiftach have some similarities. If you give me a child, I will donate. But Chana says it properly. It doesn't mean I will sacrifice my child, but rather I will bring him to serve in the Mishkan, and he will serve as a kohen, as a shofet, as a navi, right? So that's what she's saying. She will dedicate the child to the service of Hashem and to Bnei Israel. So she spoke properly. That's a good contrast to these cases. Okay, very good. Now we saw the two sections of Agadah about improper requests. And so now back to a proper request, which is one for rain. And we're going to distinguish between requesting and mentioning. Amar bi berechia, af Knesset Yisrael. Oh, sorry, we're not done with Agadah. Shala shelo kahogen, v'kadosh baruch ha-shiba kahogen, shnemar, v'nei de'av nirdefa la'adat et adonai kashachar nachon moso v'yabo kageshem lanu. Not only the three individuals we saw before, but even the whole Bnei Israel had a request that was not, it was incorrectly phrased. For it says in Yeshaya, they come to Hosea, and they say, we want to know Hashem, and he is coming forth like Shachar. He's going to come like the morning sun. Kashachar nachon matmosao, v'yavo kageshem lanu. Hashem will come like rain. So in other words, the Bnei Israel are saying, Hashem, you will come like rain. As sure as rain comes, so too Hashem will come. Thing is, rain is not so sure to come. So this is not a really good analogy. To say like sunrise, that's nice. That's a beautiful prayer. But the second one is not. Amar l'Kadosh Baruch Hu b'ti, at shol davar she'pamim mitbakesh, pamim eno mitbakesh. Rain sometimes is good, but in the summer season, rain is not good. It ruins all the crops that are drying out in the field. And so now you're comparing Hashem coming like something that is sometimes negative. Aval ani ayeh lach davar mitbakesh le'olam, she'mar ayeh katal Yisrael. Hashem's answer at the end of Hosea is, I will be like dew to Israel. Dew is always good, right? We saw that before. Dew never stops. It's required for the world. And all year round, tal is good. That's why we say morid hatal, even in the summer. So Hashem says, even though you phrased your request in an improper way, nevertheless, I understand your intention, and I will change it around and change the geshem to tal. And so that's really nice how they kind of, the rabbis notice that difference between Hosea 6 and Hosea 14. Another time that Bnei Israel asked improperly, in Shir Hashirim, the analogy of lovers, one says to the other, put me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. This is a hint to Tefillin. And so this is Bnei Israel saying to Hashem, remember us. Like we are in your heart and on your arm all the time. Your request is not 100%, because sometimes you can see someone's arm, sometimes they're wearing long sleeves, sometimes you can see their heart, their chest, sometimes you can't see it. אבל אני אעשה לך דבר שנראה לעולם, שנאמר, הן על כפיים חכותיך. But rather, I'm going to do you better for you. Hashem says, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. The palms of my hands are always visible. So Hashem says, I know what you mean, and I appreciate it, and I do it even better. So this is going to be the best request. Okay, so those are really beautiful agadot that someone doesn't formulate their request perfectly, Hashem fixes it and answers it 100%. Okay, so now we get back to rain. En shalim to geshamim. We mentioned that you should only request rain when you need it. You start saying Barech Aleinu right at the time when you need it. Savruha. At first, the rabbis who were studying this Mishnah thought that mentioning and asking for rain are the same thing. And then they got confused. Mantana, who is the author? And they said, maybe the author is Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua said, you start requesting rain, mentioning rain, from the time you put down your lulav. And so it's pushing it all the way to the end of the holiday, Shemini Aseret, to be close to the time of the rainy season, and then you'd start Barech Aleinu right away. So that's what they, that was the first answer. However, no, not necessarily. You could say, like Rabbi Eliezer, who says that we start mentioning rain on the first day of the holiday, and mentioning rain and asking for rain are two different things. So you could start saying Mashiv Aruch Mirid HaGeshem on the first day, and then you can delay saying Barech Aleinu till after the holiday, whenever it is that you would need rain. We'll see when that is. Okay, good. That's one version of this conversation. The second version, Vika de Amre. This Mishnah that says you should start mentioning the same time that you need it. So maybe this is in fact the Rabbi Yoshua who said from the time that you put down the lulav. Rava answers the same thing as we said before. Could be the Rabbi Eliezer and as requesting and mentioning are two different things. And so that's how Rabbi Eliezer can explain this. All right, very good. And so now we get to part D, which is when should we end the request regarding, right, when should we stop saying Mashiv Baruch Hu Mirid HaGeshem? What we're going to see is Mishnah said it's between Shacharit and Musaf on the first day of Pesach. Shacharit is the last one that you say. But Abraita is going to, we're going to see, it says the end of Pesach, both in the name of the same person, it'll be Yehuda. So we're going to see four answers. Rav Chisda is going to say, no, when we say mention, it means the end of Pesach. That's those for mentioning. Ula is going to say there's two versions of what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rav Yosef says it's going to be until, what it means is end of Pesach, doesn't mean end of Pesach, seventh day, but until after the first chazan on Pesach, so he reconciles the two. Rabba says until after Korban Pesach, also a way of saying not the end of the holiday of Pesach, but the end of Korban Pesach, so that way the Braita is reinterpreted to fit with the Mishnah. Okay, so let's see all that inside. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Abed Lefnei HaTeba, Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah said that the one who says Shacharit will say will see Mashiv Baruch Mirid HaGeshem on Pesach, and one who says Musaf then will begin to stop saying it. In our Nusach we say Morid HaTal. There are some Nuschaot that say Mashiv Baruch Mirid HaGeshem during the winter and say nothing during the summer. Okay, Urminu, challenge a contradiction to the Mishnah. Until when do we say Mashiv Baruch Mirid HaGeshem? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, this is the same as Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai is in the Mishnah. Ad she'yavor Pesach, until Pesach is over. So you see the contradiction. Rabbi Meir Omer ad she'yavor Nisan. Rabbi Meir just says till Nisan is over. Okay, so that's much easier to figure out. So Rabbi Meir is not relevant because the question is for Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Chisda. Answer number one: Lakashia, kan lishol, kan lehezkir. We're talking about saying Barech Aleinu or saying Mashiv Baruch Mirid HaGeshem in the Braita. That's talking about requesting for rain. So you continue saying Barech Aleinu. This would be during Chol HaMoed when you say the full Amidah. You continue saying Barech Aleinu until the end of Pesach. But Mashiach Baruch Mele Geshem, you stop beforehand. Mishal Sheel Vazil, Leskid B'Yom Tov Rishon Pasik. Regarding asking, we continue. Regarding mentioning, we stop on the first day. Okay, if you're scratching your head, then you understood it correctly. Amad Ola. So Ula says about Rav Chista's answer, says this is like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to one's eyes. This is painful to think about this answer. What are you talking about? If in a case where you are not requesting, you still mention it. In other words, at the beginning, we start saying Mashiach Baruch Mele Geshem, several days or even weeks before we mention it, before we request it. So then we're going to have a case here now during Pesach when you are requesting it, saying Barech Aleinu, and you're not going to be saying Mashiach Baruch Mele Geshem, all the more so you have to say it. The point is that it doesn't make any sense to say you would stop mentioning it on the first day, but continue to pray for it, right? Praying for it is the even stronger expression of wanting rain. So it doesn't make sense to say your answer. Ella amar ula. Tere tana'e alibad Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said something, and it was transmitted by his students, and there's two versions about what he said. So we're not sure what he said, and so that's why there is a contradiction. That's it. There is just a contradiction within Rabbi Yehuda. Well, Gemara is going to prefer this answer of ula, which is interesting because it doesn't really answer it. Rav Yosef amar mai ad she'avod ha-Pesach, ad she'avod shelich sibur rishon, ha-yored b'yom tov rishon shel Pesach. Rav Yosef says, I'm going to fit the Braita into the Mishnah. And when the Braita says, you should say Mashiach Baruch Mele Geshem until Pesach passes, it doesn't mean the whole holiday of Pesach, but rather until the Chazan for Shacharit finishes on the first day of Pesach. That's when you stop saying Mashiach Baruch Mele Geshem, which is exactly what the Mishnah said. Amar Abaye, Shela B'Yom Tov Mi Ika. Abaye says, hold on. We were asking, when do you stop requesting the rain? That's Barech Aleinu. We don't even say Barech Aleinu during in the Amidah for Yom Tov. So it wouldn't make any sense to say you continue requesting rain until the Shacharit of the first day. That's not a time that would be relevant. So in Shoel Meturgeman. No, there could be, because there's a Meturgeman. Meturgeman literally means a translator. But it's also someone that function also other than translating. This line is a little hard because not sure exactly who it's referring to. Meturgeman we know of in two contexts. Number one is in reading the Sefer Torah. Back in Talmudic times, the Baal Kodeh would read it in Hebrew from the Torah, and someone next to him would translate it into Aramaic, which everyone understood. And so here it could be maybe that the translator may not only did it translate word for word, he also added some midrashim within his translation and explanation. So maybe he would add in a little prayer while he was translating. That's option number one. The Meturgeman was also a person that amplified or disseminated the rabbi's speech. When the rabbi made a derasha, he would say it in a quiet voice, and then you had someone with a loud voice if there was a big audience there. And that person would not only repeat it, but also add to it. And so sometimes that meturgeman may, after the Torah, add a few prayers like we do also. After the Torah, we add a prayer for the government and for the kahal and for other announcements, and maybe he would add a prayer for rain. Okay, it could be one of those two, or it could be another functionary that Rabbeinu Chananel says here that the court would appoint someone to go ahead and make requests that are besides the ones that are in the Tefillah. So it was someone who helped out explain the Tefillah, expanded on the Tefillah. Okay, anyway, the point is, even though we don't have a regular Amidah on Yom Tov, nevertheless, you have this Meturgeman who may have added such a prayer, and that's why he's saying no, he should not add it after Musaf of the first day. But we reject that anyway. Would the Meturgeman ask for something that we don't need? We don't want rain after that, so why would he ask for it? So you know what? Forget that answer. We're going to go back to Ula, that there's two traditions in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. Last answer. Rabba Amar Mai Ad She'Yavor HaPesach Ad She'Yavor Zeman Shechitat HaPesach. Until the Pesach passes means until the Shechita of Pesach on the 14th in the afternoon. Ochtila Ochet Techilato Ken Sofo Matechilato Maskir Afapisheno Shoel Af Sofo Maskir Afapisheno Shoel. So the point is that you say Mashiach Baruch Medegeshem until the 14th, including the 14th, and then at some point on the 15th, that's when you stop. And so just like when we begin, we say, we maskir, we mention it, even though we're not saying Barech Aleinu yet. So too, at the end, we will be maskir, because on the first day of Pesach, we're still saying Mashiach Baruch Medegeshem in Shacharit, even though we stop saying Barech Aleinu, even beforehand, Mincha of the previous day, we stopped and we already went to Barechenu. And so that's how you can reconcile the two. Amar Abaye b'shlam etchilato maskir, hazkara nameh risui she'elahi, ela sofo mai risui she'elaika. Abaye says, no, that doesn't make sense. When you're starting off to talk about rain, it makes sense to start off with a little mention. Because even the mention, Hashem, you are so great that you bring rain, that is the beginning of appeasement. You're starting off with the praise, Hashem, you're the one that brings rain. And then some days later, we'll make a full-out request. So it makes sense to do that. But if you're talking about the end, and now we don't want rain anymore, so you stopped requesting rain, why would you bother still giving praise that Hashem is the one that brings rain? So this doesn't make sense. We're going back to Ula's opinion that there's two versions of Rabbi Yehuda. That's it, there's two versions. We follow the one in the Mishnah, and that's what we do till today. We stop on the first day of Pesach between Shacharit and Musaf. And now, the final section of the sugya, halacha lemaaseh, what do we do? We're going to see two different opinions. And the first one will say, well, these are actually two different amoraim, say these two different things. The first one is a biuda, says we start saying on Shemini Aseret. And the second is Ben Gamliel, that we start saying Barech Aleinu on the 7th of Cheshvan. So actually said by two different people. But number two is, maybe it's talking about request starts on 7th of Cheshvan, whereas only the mention starts on Shemini Aseret. That's actually what we do in Israel today. The third answer is the 7th of Cheshvan is for Bavel. And the answer is, last answer, 7th of Cheshvan is for Beit HaMikdash times and different from nowadays. Okay, all this is not relevant to those who live in Galut. Outside of Israel, here in Galut, we start saying Barech Aleinu 60 days after the equinox, adjusted for various things. And so that comes out to be December 4th. We're going to see that in a few pages from now in Masechet Ta'anit. So if you're wondering what we do now, that's what we do here outside of Israel. In Israel, they are already saying Barech Aleinu since the 7th of Cheshvan, according to this opinion, these opinions. So this is good, very relevant. So let's see. Amar Rabbi Aseh, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. In the name of Rabbi Yochanan, they said, Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, Halacha is in fact like Rabbi Yehuda, that you start saying Mashiach Baruch Morid Hageshem on Shemini Aseret. Amar le Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Aseh, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi Vatenan. Wait, we have a contradiction, because in the next Mishnah, it says in Masechet Tanit, B'shlosha b'mar cheshvan sholent hageshamim. Rabban Gamaliel omer b'shiv'a bo. It says that you should start requesting rain on the 3rd of Cheshvan, is the Tanakama. Rabban Gamaliel says on the 7th. Okay, it's interesting that, and Ve'amar Rabbi Elazar, halacha k'Rabban Gamliel. Rabbi Elazar says, halacha follows Rabban Gamliel, and that's the 7th. So which one is it? Is it on Shemini Aseret, or is it the 7th? Right, so it's very interesting that we're assuming that Mazkirin is the same as Sho'alin, right? I know we established at the top of the page that it's different, but you see that this was not obvious to everybody. And that is just, it's only one line of interpretation that we're going to bring in a second, but the questioner assumes that they're the same. So now that's the question, which one is it? Do you start praying for rain on Shemini Aseret or on the 7th of Cheshvan, like Rabban Gamliel? Answer number one. Amale gabra gabra karamit. You're asking from one stage to another. The first halacha that says halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that was Rabbi Yochanan. The second one that says halacha like Rabban Gamliel is Rabbi Elazar. That's two different people. So they had two different opinions about what the halacha is like. It's hard to even understand what was even the question. It's not a contradiction. And maybe the question was because Rabbi Elazar was in fact a student, a Talmid Muvhak of Rabbi Yochanan. So it'd be surprising that he would say something different from Rabbi Yochanan. Usually he would just repeat what Rabbi Yochanan said. So maybe that's the contradiction. And then we say, no. And in fact, he disagreed with his teacher and he has a different answer. Okay, that's number one. Or the second one, which we all now take for granted because this is how we understand this phrase. One's talking about requesting, saying Barech Aleinu. That you don't do till the 7th of Cheshvan. But when we talk about mentioning Mashiach Baruch Medageshem, that's done on Shemini Aseret. This is exactly what is done in Israel today. Hold on. But this can't fit with Rabbi Yochanan because Rabbi Yochanan says that whenever you make the request, you also make the mention. Mashiach Baruch and Barech Aleinu should come at the same time. So you can't give that answer. No, we could. This statement of Rabbi Yochanan was only about the ending date, that we end both on Pesach at the same time, not about the beginning date. You know, it doesn't work either. We have another version. Rabbi Yochanan, hitchil lehazkir, matchil lishol, pasak milishol, posek milhazkir. He says it works both ways. Whenever you begin mentioning Mashiach Baruch, Merid HaGeshem, so too you begin Barech Aleinu. And whenever you stop one, you also stop the other. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan cannot follow this second answer. Ella lakashya, we need a third answer. Halan behalehu. One is for us in Bavel. In Bavel, we need more time to gather things from the field, and so we have to wait till the 7th of Cheshvan. Halehu in Israel, however, they harvest everything before Sukkot starts, and then they come into the holiday, so they can start asking for rain. On Shemini Aseret. So no, it depends on where you are. Okay, Maishna Lidida and Itlan Pered Bedabra. We're going to reject this. Why are we different? Because we have fruit in the field. In Israel also, they have people that are traveling, pilgrims, going to Israel and then coming back and traveling back and forth. And they need time to get home. They don't want to rain on them. They're going to start asking for rain on Shemini Aseret. Then they're going to have difficulty going home. So really, that doesn't make sense. So rather, a fourth answer. Rabbi Yochanan says you should start praying, requesting Barech Aleinu when there's in Israel on Shemini Aseret when there's no Bet HaMikdash, so there's no travelers. I mean, a few people go to for Sukkot, but there's no Bet HaMikdash. There's no reason for lots of people to go. Whereas the other statement was talking about when the Bet HaMikdash is up, then you have to give a couple of weeks for people to travel. And that's the 7th of Cheshvan. Okay. Hashta datet lachi avahad ledidhu velakash. Wait, once you have this answer, there's different time periods, then you don't have to, you can throw out the third answer that says the difference between Bavel and Israel. You could say both of them are for Israel. When the Beit HaMikdash was up, then you needed to give time for travelers, so you waited till 7th of Cheshvan. When there's no Beit HaMikdash, then you do it on Shemini Aseret. Okay, good. But this is based on this conclusion of this discussion. It would seem that nowadays, since there is no Beit HaMikdash, we should start in Israel. They should start saying Barech Aleinu on Shemini Aseret. However, that is not halacha lemaaseh, not Rambam, not Shulchan Aruch. They say the 7th of Cheshvan, like just following the second answer, not this answer. And the reason for this, even though it's not the last answer of the Talmud, it seems to be because they did in fact need more time to do the harvest, to gather in, and maybe some people traveling. So they needed till the 7th of Cheshvan. So it's really just practical. When do you actually want the rain? Then you should start praying for it. Okay. How about us in Bavel? We have 2 days of Yom Tov, so we have 2 days of Shemini Aseret. which day, right? How do we do that? How do we start saying Mashiv Aruch? How do we do Morid Hageshem and Shacharit? And then Mashiv Aruch Morid Atal in Shacharit. And then Mashiv Aruch Morid Hageshem during Musaf on Shemini Aseret. And then what we call Simchat Torah, the second day of Shemini Aseret. Right? What should we do? Hechi Abdinan. A few opinions. Ba'amar Rav, Matchil B'Musafin. This is unbelievable. Rav says, since the Mishnah says you have to switch over between Shacharit and Mincha and Musaf, you have to do that on both days. So the first day of Shemini Aseret, Shacharit you'll say Morid Atal, and then Musaf you'll say Mashiv Baruch Hu Degeshem. And then you go back to Morid Atal for Mincha, Arbit, and Shacharit, and then switch over again to Mashiv Baruch Hu Degeshem and Musaf. That way we can fulfill Rabbi Yehuda's opinion of the Mishnah on both days. That's what Rav first says. But you can see that's, you know, that's really strange. Once you start praying for something, then you should continue. Amar lohu Shmuel, puku v'imru le'le Abba, acha she'asito kodesh ta'aseh uchol. He says, go tell Abba. Abba is Rav's personal name. Shmuel calls him his personal name. His name was really technically Rav Abba. So he says, go and tell him after you make this day holy, meaning why are you keeping 2 days? You're not sure which day is Yom Tov, right? Fine. But after you said, after on the first day, you switched over Mashiv Baruch Hu Degeshem, you're showing, I think this is a holy day. But then for Mincha on that very day, you're going back to Morid Atal, treating it as if it's Erev, the Shemini Aseret. So you're going back and making something holy and now making it a regular weekday. No, don't do that. Ela Mashmuel. Matchil b'musafin u'b'mincha u'posek arbit v'shacharit v'chozer u'matchil b'musafin. So he says, on shacharit of the first day, Morid Atal. Then you sing, and musaf, you say, Mashiv Baruch Morid Hageshem. And mincha also, you say, Mashiv Baruch Morid. So the entire first day is good. You treat it like a holy day. Now the second day, maybe if that's really Shemini Aseret, so we'll start all over again. And then Arbit and Shacharit of the second day of Yom Tov, we say Morid Atal. And then Musaf, we switch over again. You have to sing all the poems again. So that way, you don't have a day that you treated first like Kodesh and then like Chol. So that's second opinion. Once you start mentioning rain, you can't go back and stop. You just continue. That's what we do today. Posek. Rav changed his mind from his original opinion, and he said the same thing. Because how do we know that? Here's the proof. Rav said, "Moneh 21 yom kederach shemoneh asara yamim erosh hashanah ad yom kippurim." If you want to know when you should start saying Mashiv Baruch Hu Degeshem, just count 21 days. Shemini Aseret is the 21st day. Same way that you count 10 days from Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur. How do you count? You count from the first day, from Aleph Tishrei, from the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Even though there's 2 days, maybe it's the first day, maybe second day, we don't worry about that. We just count Yom Kippur 1 day. And so too, you'll count Shemini Aseret, that 1 day is only the only day that you say Mashiv, switch over. Matchil. And that is halacha. Once you start, then you don't stop. That's what we do today. An interesting application of this is if someone lives in Chutz La'aretz and they go to Israel, let's say now, like it would happen right now, if someone went to Israel and then came back. If you go to Israel now, you would be praying there and they're saying Barech Aleinu. So you have to pray along with them and you have to say Barech Aleinu along with them, even though you come from Chutz La'aretz. And back at home, you're still saying Morid Atal. You join along with Israel and have them in mind and say Barech Aleinu with them. Baruch Adonai L'Olam. Amen.